Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's good to see you guys. It's been a while. I've been doing a lot of filming, some crazy things going on out there. Obviously, the music scene's back on track, so I've been doing a lot of playing, a lot of shows. For those of you who are asking about how it went with the guys from Iron Maiden, that was just an incredible experience. Very excited. For those of you who've seen the clips, thank you so much for all the support and all the compliments that you guys have given me and the guys in the band as well. Anyway, thank you for joining My Darkest Hour. And I'm your host, Stefan Bergotti. I hope you guys have been checking out the stuff on Paraflix. We got some new stuff coming up. We got about 3 new clips about the drop for the season. Real excited. I'll just give you a little hint on one of them. One of them is actually a place that we've talked about on the show before, not too far in from Ventura County. There are some sacred Native American lands out there that I had the honor of being brought in to investigate there, which was just an amazing experience. The energy there is just incredible. I saw what I swear, a shadow person, but this person must have been about 14 feet high. It was incredible because I saw it when we were doing the seance in the barn, walking in the distance, and there was a fence out there which is about 6 feet, and this was twice the size of that. So it was an incredible experience. So I want to make sure you guys check that out. That is the next episode to drop. So be sure to go to Paraflix and check that out. Anyway, tonight is a very, very special show for me. We all know about how I'm into the Native American culture, being Native American myself. It's a huge thing, the spiritualism and the approach of how we deal with nature. You know, we talk about supernatural, but it's really natural, but it's super because it's something that we don't experience every day in our normal society. When people talk about paranormal, it's not really paranormal, it's normal. We just have to learn to embrace it, love it. It's part of our world. We're part of that world. We're all unified together. But tonight, I have a very special guest. I have the guys from Unearthing the Supernatural. Now, you guys heard me talk about them before. I did an event at Vulture City last year in October, and what they did was a special ceremony to kick off the entire event. And I was honored and privileged to be a part of this sacred ceremony of the broken drum, which I was able to participate in. And for me, that's a huge thing. It was a huge, huge experience. I couldn't expect that. It just blew me away and made my whole weekend. You know, I even received a feather after the ceremony saying that I earned it, which was an incredible thing for me. It meant a lot, heart and soul. So I am really privileged and honored to have the guys from Unearthing the Supernatural on my show tonight. So let's go ahead and bring them on, and we'll get to know them a little bit more about them, because what they're doing is not the same stuff as everybody else. It's something deeper, and I just want to share it with the world. So let's bring them on in as I click them in. Hey guys,
how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
It is going fantastic. Thank you guys so much for joining me on the show tonight. It really means a lot to me. As you were just hearing me talk about, that whole experience just blew my mind. It was such a great thing for me to be a part of. Thank you guys so much. So I want, as we're talking about being Native American, we're more spiritual in a lot of ways. We deal with the nature. We deal with the environment. We embrace what's around us. So What you guys do is absolutely incredible, because you were able to focus in and tune in to a lot of the environment that was happening around us. And I think in a lot of ways, the spirits, they feel that. They drive out that energy. They can feel the vibration going. And I think that makes them in a better mood, more active to being around people, because the experience I had there at Vulture City was mind-blowing. I have a whole episode coming up about that whole experience, but I filmed the entire time.
Nice.
So, I'll let you guys know. I'm sure you'll be a part of it, and I appreciate you if you guys allow me to put you on my documentary. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, go for it.
So let's talk from the beginning. One of the things I like to talk about on my guests that come on the show is how they got in to the paranormal field. So if you could tell us your story, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So, Hiro, you want to kind of take over, how we got into it or how you got your spiritual journey, and then I'll go ahead and take over from unearthing the supernatural onto there.
Yeah, sure. So, both Sean Glenn and I have, been fortunate enough to be raised by very strong parents, very strong grandparents who are very adamant about making sure that we knew our heritage, knew our history, knew our culture. And that really played a huge part into our upbringing. And we attended a lot of ceremonies, even from pretty much the moment we were born. We were taken into a lot of ceremonies. We were able to witness a lot of elders who are no longer here anymore, who are very prominent medicinal people, very prominent people in the spiritual world, in the spiritual community. So my brother and I had the great fortune of seeing them and learning a little bit from them, being a part of their ceremonies. And at the age of 13, I was actually selected to be one of four Diné Navajo people to represent our nation in kind of, I guess in English is a way to describe it, as a cultural exchange. And what I mean by that is when we were selected, we were to kind of go to different reservations, go to different tribes. And all of us, not just from Navajo, but from all these different tribes, young ones, were to come together and to try to revitalize the old traditional ways. So we lived the warrior ways. We learned a lot of different ceremonies and a little bit more in depth. So almost like total immersion. And from there, I was raised to become a medicinal person, more specifically a guardian of one of our four sacred mountains. My particular mountain is actually Tocolsli, which is Flagstaff Mountains, San Francisco Peaks. And from there, I was taught how to interact with the spiritual beings on a little bit higher level than what we already do as Indigenous people. So to being able to do offerings, certain ceremonies I learned, and a couple of the ceremonies that I did learn were very specific in dealing with kind of the darker side of things, being able to expel that darker side and combat it and kind of cleanse lands, cleanse people's homes, and just put people back into balance. And then also having to communicate with these spirits of all these of spirits of different caliber, pretty much. And so these ceremonies were very unique. They were almost ready to be extinct. And I was very fortunate to be part of this this program to keep these ceremonies alive. And that's kind of where me learning these ceremonies kind of led into who we are today. And I'll have my brother take over the Unearthing the Supernatural part.
Cool. Yeah. So with all of that, me being his brother, I was pretty much there the whole time. So when he was 13 years old, I was only 9 years old. So as a little kid, like how Hiro said, we grew up with all these ceremonies and teachings, but with all these added teachings that my brother was gifted, it seems like it just added a whole new layer of our spiritual ways and knowledge. So growing up with my brother and witnessing a lot of the ceremonies that he's done, and when I became of age, I started going with him to these ceremonies and I guess you could say these offerings that we had to go perform for the land and the spirits. I was really always try to be there for my brother. And that was the main thing, is like, ever since the very beginning, I was just like, I'm always going to be there for you, big bro. So it's always been me and him, our entire trip. And it's going to be that way until the day we pass on and even after. So with that, with those teachings and those knowledge, my brother and I are, we always grew up watching famous ghost hunters like Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, and all those guys. And with that, we always thought, we were just like, I wonder how it would be if we incorporated our native teachings and do stuff like them. Excuse me. And then I always wondered, like, what would happen if we started incorporating our sacred teachings and our knowledge into ghost hunting? Because it's pretty much what we do already. We communicate with spirits very often, just like how you said in the beginning, it's natural to us. It's something that we always do. And it's something as we're taught as kids is learn how to communicate with spirits the proper way. And I always felt like, yeah, we always know there's spirits there. And I know there's a lot of people out there to this day who are kind of skeptical of spirits and ghosts. And we're, for us, and unearthing the supernatural is, okay, I think by now everybody knows there's some sort of force or energies outside past the human realm. What's next? Who is going to be the ones to be able to take it to the next level and be able to bring balance back into the human and spiritual worlds, like how us indigenous people have always been through generations and generations? So that's the main reason why I founded Unearthing the Supernatural, along with my brother too, is we wanted to be able to teach and bring this knowledge to the people and be like, okay, you know, a lot of stuff is kind of out of balance these days. So let's see if we can bring that back into balance and kind of not give everybody the sacred knowledge that we have, but we can give them some knowledge to at least protect themselves or even help the local spirits that maybe like haunting your home. You know, you can know the basics on how to communicate with the spirits. So that's essentially the reason why we founded Unearthing the Supernatural.
That's a perfect story. Like you said, you guys grew up spiritual. You're doing that already. You just kind of transitioned or added on the helping people and explaining it to other people, bringing it to the paranormal realm, so to speak. That's a great story. So, Hero, let me ask you, when you're doing all the training and stuff, when you were a small child, what was the experience like? I know you're probably around spirits your whole entire life. You know, I have some psychic stuff going on with me, so I've seen it my whole life. And which is interesting is when I was a little boy, I used to see other indigenous people. I used to see one story is we lived in a townhome, and it was kind of on a hill, and it was a 3-story townhome. And the bottom level was the garage. You walk up the stairs to the living room and stuff, and you go upstairs to the bedrooms. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was laying on the couch watching TV. I was really, really young. And a spirit walked up the stairs from the garage. And he had like a cloth, and he didn't have a shirt on, kind of bald with some hair streaks. And he was holding like, looked like flowers, but it could have been like herbs or something. And he just kind of stood there and looked at me, and he just kind of like acknowledged me and then continued to walk up to my sister's room. So, I mean, as a child, I remember things coming in and out of my sister's room, could have been a vortex or a doorway. But I thought that was interesting. And I didn't really think much about it. I'm just like, oh, there's this guy. Cool. You know, bye. That kind of stuff. And there was a large Chumash tribe in that area. So it makes a lot of sense to me. Now, you training and growing up, what were some of the first experiences that you can remember having?
I'd say kind of some of my first experiences were, I guess it's kind of hard to kind of go back really far. Like we said, we're always part of it. So we always witnessed like amazing miracles. We've always witnessed great healings happening, powerful ceremonies. Like I said, we witnessed some of our elders, like I said, who are no longer here, who had very, very powerful ceremonies. You hear the spirits actually come into the Hogan. Sometimes you see them as flashes. You hear their high pitchness. You hear them walking around. You'd see kind of a little bit of their silhouettes in the darkness and the charcoal just kind of lighting them up a bit. And so as a child, we'd always see that. So it's like to us, they were a natural part of our lives. They're a natural part of us. Now, when I started my training, though, here's the thing. During these ceremonies, and growing up as a young child, our parents and grandparents really protected us and made sure that we were taken care of. So they tried their best not to take us to places that were very hostile, very dangerous, places that kids really shouldn't be going. But at the age of 13, when I was being a part of this training, I went to those places. I went to those darker sides. I went to those very powerful sacred sites and witnessed these spirits firsthand. it's interesting the different levels and variances of I guess energy that are a part of these interactions, because when you go to a sacred site and when you interact with the beings that call that place home, that have been there for thousands and thousands of years, who have literally built that place according to sacred stories, that is extremely powerful. That is extremely humbling, because it's not just Casper the Friendly Ghost. This is almost like an angelic, godlike being that forces you on your knees. And so you have no choice but to resort to your prayer, resort to what you've been taught in your teachings, and are forced to pay respects to these beings of that caliber.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, like you said, you were venturing into those darker places, part of the training, because you have to learn the variances between what's good and what's not so good, what's peaceful and what's aggressive. And it's funny you said the Casper the Friendly Ghost, because I always tell that story. I never had any issues with spirits until I was a little bit older. And then something pretty wild happened, and I realized, okay, that not everything's Casper the Friendly Ghost. There's other things out there. And that really intrigued me growing up more, learning about the differences, you know, why they're becoming aggressive. There's so many different variances. But just educating myself so I could be more on guard, not so, oh, come on in, let's hang out. You know, it's like, who are we inviting in? You know, we got to be
Exactly.
I'm sure that's part of the paranormal stuff that you guys do. You warn other people about that too, because everyone thinks, oh, it could be grandma. Well, it could be, but sometimes it might not be grandma coming to visit. It could be someone pretending. You know, so it's always a new kind of training going on with that.
Yeah.
Always.
So in the paranormal stuff, when you decided to add that part to it, what was the direction you guys wanted to go? Did you guys just want to do historical places, or did you jump right in board with trying to help people?
So with the paranormal investigations, we were very, I guess you could say, testing the waters as far as for the approaches on how we go to our investigations, because we've never been to a legit investigation, or like we've been to many haunted towns and haunted buildings, but we went there for a purpose to either help a patient or help a spirit in need specifically. Now, doing that and incorporating cameras and trying to be able to illustrate a story with our craft using a camera, and for us to be able to illustrate that story to where it makes sense to the audience. Now, that was a challenge for us definitely in the beginning. And with that, it was pretty much a learning curve, as I'm pretty sure you've seen like some of our beginning episodes. Like I'm not too proud of them, you know, but like each episode we do is we always try to improve on as far as for our storytelling and the knowledge and teachings that we can bring. And as far as for going into like a haunted location with that mindset, it was definitely a learning curve. And so it was a lot of fun to be able to start doing this and to be able to be like, okay, you know, we can handle spirits. We can talk to spirits. We can do that day and night. We can do that easily. Now trying to do that with a camera is like, okay, I guess we stand right here with this camera and this light and then just do what you do.
Absolutely. Even those older episodes, though, there's still good stuff in there. You know, I see that the progression, you guys have gotten a lot better and more refined at what you guys are doing with all that. But still, the beginning stuff's great. You know, you're showing it, you're in there. People can follow you on that and see what's going on with it. And a lot of times people see that older stuff, they go, I had an experience like that too. That kind of reminds me of this, what's happened to me. So at the same time, they're going to get that influence. They're going to be inspired by that. They might reach out to you in case they have any questions or stuff like that, because that shared experience. Real quick, for those of you who are watching, you're watching the My Darkest Hour podcast, and I have the guys from Unearthing the Supernatural on tonight, and I wanted to make sure that you guys who are hearing us and seeing this can go to their website at unearthingthesupernatural.com. It's just like that. You can see some videos. You learn a little bit more about the team. Something new, something different for everyone who loves the paranormal, loves spiritualness. This is really great stuff, and I'm recommending it to everybody. If you get a chance, you know, those who follow us on Paraflix, make sure you go watch their episodes. It's incredible stuff. I'm inspired by it. I'm learning a lot by it. Just hanging out with these guys, I've learned so much. And it's a whole new doorway for so many people. You know, it's not just the same old stuff that we see cookie cuttered on TV all the time. I love the paranormal. There's a lot of shows out there. I can't say that I love every paranormal show, because sometimes it's like, been there, done that. You know, let's move on. Bring me something new. This is fresh. This is new. And I don't mean fresh like it's just starting. This is something that's part of the culture since the beginning of time. But for those out there who want to know more about the paranormal, I really highly suggest checking their team out and the stuff they do, because you guys will be blown away and amazed. So for those who really want to reach out to you, is there an email or some way they can connect with you guys?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, I'll tell brothers. Brothers, man. But yeah, we have an email you can reach out to us. It's unearthingthesupernatural@gmail.com. You can reach out to us through email. We have all sorts of social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. So just shoot us a DM. They're all open. So you guys, we also have our own personal pages too. I have a Sean Klein page. He has a Hero page, and all of our members have their own pages. If you want to like specifically message one of us, maybe because of our spiritual abilities that we have, may be more attuned to you, you know, feel free to go ahead and message us.
Awesome. And I say that because at every show, people ask questions, and I get a lot of emails, and I get a lot of people sending me photographs and videos of strange things. Do you guys ever get stuff like that? People sending you stuff?
You were starting to, that's for sure. Yeah, we're starting to. And it's always fun to be able to interact with our fans and interact with people who are genuinely curious about who we are and a little bit of what we go through. Some of them might recognize that, like, hey, there is something indigenous about their particular type of situation. And so they reach out to us and be like, hey, we need some help with this. We don't know a whole lot. And so that's where we do like a one-on-one conversation and be like, hey, there's a possibilities of what it could be. And then we provide some solutions like, hey, if it's this, try this offering. If that doesn't react to that, let's try this other way. And so we're really into helping our fans out, really into teaching. And we love those one-on-one conversations all the time.
That's awesome. It gives you that connection with your fans and the followers and people that want to know more about you guys. Yeah. I get strange photographs sent to me, and it's really tough because they ask for my opinion all the time, and I give them my opinion, and someone sends me a photograph. It's 8 o'clock at night, and you can totally tell the grass is all wet, and they're outside taking a picture of their house, and they see 1,000 orbs. But like, oh, there's so many ghosts. So I'm like, it looks like condensation to me. Like, what's that? It's like, that's your private opinion. I'm sharing that with you. So I'm looking at your photograph. What other things could be, I'm sorry.
That's a huge thing, is you always look, I think it's a big thing with us, is there, we have a traditional aspect to an indigenous side of it, but we also are very adamant about blending the old and the new. And what we mean by that is being able to utilize new equipment, obviously the cameras, and our method of storytelling, and letting the spirits tell their stories. But also any types of evidence that we try to capture, we try to back it up with a little bit of like meters, readings, something that can kind of visually or audibly tell that, hey, there's something to this evidence. But with that, as paranormal investigators, you try anything and everything possible to debunk that. And by doing that, you are making it. It's unexplainable. It's paranormal because it cannot be explained.
Absolutely. I do the same thing. A lot of the stuff that investigations that me and Patty have gone and done together, she's telling me all these things, but I have all the equipment because people make me all kinds of cool toys to play with. And those things start blinking and things are going off and she's saying this and they're helping identify what's going on here. There's somebody here and all of a sudden things start lighting up. It's like, okay, that's interesting. Here's an energy source. So absolutely. And that's when I'm filming, I have to have that, you know, because sometimes when we're doing these paranormal shows and when we have psychics that walk around, they say this or that, that's awesome. But people really want to see more than just that. They want to see something light up or a picture of something or a video. So together, we put all these tools together to just kind of cover everything. She's experiencing that. The meters are going crazy, reacting to her. So that's more concrete evidence. And I really like that a lot about some of the newer shows.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with you, is because it seems like some paranormal groups, they go into investigations just trying to, say, make a REM pod light up or just make their gadgets and gizmos go off. But one thing like Patty does, my brother and we like to do that as well, is we go to conversate with spirits. We go to make connections with the spirits, and then the equipment just validate the conversations that we have. And that's pretty much, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, we know we have gifts, but how do we show that to the whole world? The saying like, oh yeah, and so no one says like, oh, you guys are just crazy. You're just talking to nothing. It's like, okay, well, why is that lighting up? Or why are these voices coming out here? That's validating what I'm saying. So it kind of, like how you said, really solidifies the whole investigation and kind of gives validity to the history and the spirits that are there.
Absolutely. And with the new technology, you can actually have a full-blown conversation through the equipment now. I do it all the time. Yeah. And I think it's great because some of those spirits want to hear their voice again. It's been a long time. I'm like, what? That is me. Hey, what's going on? You know, hello. I get lots of hellos and highs and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys saw it. I have that little octopus thing with those little tentacles sticking out, the glow.
Yeah.
So I've used that, and me and Patty did a big seance at my haunted theater, and it started talking. Well, it doesn't talk. It doesn't have a speaker. It doesn't have a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But two spirits were having a conversation with each other, talking about us, and we can hear it coming out of the periscope. It's like, really?
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, because the lady that was sitting in front of us said, this thing's talking. And I'm all, no, it doesn't talk. What are you talking about? There's no way. And then she's like, I swear it's talking. And then we're just like, what?
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, Patty's saying, yeah, use our energy. And then the spirit's like, use your energy. And the other guy's like, what? He's like, I can't do that. They're like talking to each other about it. I'm like, yeah, talk, you know, come on, guys. Tell us more. What's going on? But it was, that can happen, you know. These things can take over and use that energy to make things happen. Even though it has no speaker, you're hearing stuff coming out of it. Why not, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Do you ever have like those moments to where like you get a new piece of equipment and then you're very skeptical and questionable if it actually works? And then like when it actually does, you're just like, yes, it works.
I'll tell you a quick story. I for the longest time, I wasn't a big believer in the SV7, the Shack Hack stuff. You know, I've been in some investigations, some theaters that people brought me in, and I'm like, all right, well, let's use this thing. And I'm like, cool. All right, what is it? It's a Shack Hack, which ended up being the SV7. It's a radio frequency scanner. So I'm hearing car commercials and other things, and I'm like, okay. So this is some kind of device that people are matrixing, hearing words and stuff, blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't a big believer. I'm just like, yeah, that's great. You know, I'm going to go over here with this equipment and just kind of blew it off. And then a friend of mine I saw in Virginia City, and we're speaking together, and he had these things. He was selling some. It was SV7s. And I told him, well, you know what? Yeah, that's cool and everything, but I'm not bought into the program yet. He goes, here, take this home. Test it. You know, bring it somewhere. See what you can do. Sure. Got home, and my spirit photographer on my team was living in this really bad haunted house, and there was an external building called the game room, which had a lot of activity on it. We got crazy photographs, and things were pretty nasty. So I was like, all right, perfect time. Let's play with this thing in this room and see what happens, right? So we turn it on, and I'm expecting it to do its looping thing, scanning thing.
Yeah.
And there's just this guy. This guy is just all mad. He is, like, freaking out. He is calling us all these names and just craziness. And you can just feel the energy getting more and more intense by the second. So my spirit photographer just, like, runs out the door, goes, oh, I got to get something. I left the house and never came back. So me and my tech manager were just like, what was going on? And Steve goes, what are we doing again? And the thing goes, looking for ghosts, like through the SP. And he's like, I'll leave now. Get out. Then he goes, I ought to kick you in the, you know, he just, dude, this guy was just like threatening to beat us up. And I'm like, okay, hold on, dude. We just want to ask some questions, you know. It was crazy. And then after that point, I believed it. I'm like, okay, this thing does whatever. And that was just unbelievable. And I cannot deny that just happened. So, right. Yeah, I definitely excited about those moments.
Definitely. Yeah. And so that's kind of with us is the SP7, we've learned to use it. But what's really amazing about the way we use it, the particular language we speak, no radio station speaks that language. And when you have spirits speaking that language back to us, that's pretty interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, how are you gonna say that's not a fact, you know?
Right, exactly.
So yeah, people don't understand. They hear those radio frequencies because they're focusing on those radio frequencies. They're focusing on the commercials that are coming through real quick. Somebody singing in the background.
Yeah.
It's learning about how many sweeps per second are happening. If you're getting full sentences over all these different sweeps, obviously there is a frequency coming in riding towards you. You're on the frequency that's coming towards you. You're receiving it. Somebody speaking your language, you can't deny that. I don't know of any radio stations that are playing that language, you know, not in my area at least.
Yeah.
So I've heard German come through on a couple of them at an investigation where we're at this lady's house and they happened to be from Holland. So somebody was speaking Dutch coming through. It was.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely believe in some of these products, and for learning about those equipment, the trick is really studying your equipment. A lot of people just want to open it up, throw batteries in it, and watch it do its thing. Do you know what it's doing? Do you know how it's being affected? Learn your device. You're going to get much better examples. You're going to get a lot better investigative technique out of it. Just learn your equipment. If you don't want to read the manual, go to YouTube. I'm sure it's on YouTube, and they'll tell you everything you need to know about it. So that's my suggestion.
Yep, 100%. You know,
what's interesting? Yeah, I agree with that. What's interesting about that too is how our indigenous mindset when it comes to our jish or our ceremonial objects, they all have a spirit, they all have stories, and they all have ceremonies that they're best to use with. And when we start gathering these technological pieces of equipment, we recognize them as part of our jish. They're part of our ceremony. They're part of our sacred tools. We bless them when we get them, and then we also kind of give them names, give them spirits and energy of their own, because they are our tools that we use. They are our babies too, as well. So it's very interesting to kind of the similarities and things that can cross over with that, with our indigenous culture. Then some people might just see an arrowhead as a rock, you know, an igneous rock. Some other people might see a feather. Oh, it's just a feather from a bird that was molting or something like that. So to us, though, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to the stories. There's a lot more to the songs and ceremonies. Years and years. There's a name for it. There's songs for it. There's things that give it energy, things that give it power, things that connect it and are able to be used as tools. And so if we incorporate that with our modern tools as well, they develop a spirit of their own. And the more we use a piece of equipment in that manner, the more easier it is to do its job.
Awesome. Exactly that. Good advice. I do have a question for you guys. Since we're talking about feathers. In this box.
It's a nice box.
Thank you.
It's a very nice box.
I have this. My fault.
Yes.
You gave them.
Yes.
Shared this feather. Okay. That's what the box is for. When you handed me this feather, my wife went to one of the vendors and got a box for it to make sure it was protected.
So, nice.
Very nice. Good to see.
She keeps asking me, can you ask them how do we protect it? How do we keep it safe? I keep it in the box and she's afraid it's going to just deteriorate.
No, that's pretty much the thing of it is you just try to take care of it, make sure nothing really like liquid or make sure nothing really gets into it that's going to tear it up. Naturally, it's not going to deteriorate. Definitely take it out sometimes, bless yourself with it, give it, breathe into it, give it life, give it energy. And that revitalizes it and keeps it going. Pray with it, utilize it, have it be your connection to the creator, have it be your connection to the spirits. And it's going to be there to protect you. They say when you're gifted a feather, when you utilize a feather like the one I have right here, it's a symbol of your connection, your deeds, the things that you've done when in relating to spirits, in relating to the spiritual realm and community. And they say the spirits, when you're wearing your feather, you have a feather, you have jish like that, they recognize you. They understand you. They acknowledge you like, oh, look, he's earned a feather. And some of you on my episodes might see the feathers on my arm. None of my tattoos are gotten for fun. Every single one has been gotten earning it. I had to earn every single one of my markings, all the markings that I have on my face, everything I have on my body had to have been earned. Just like how Stefan talked about when, after he helped us with this protection ceremony. It was a huge ceremony for well over 100 people. Not only that, but a multitude of spirits that not only the people brought in, but the ghost town itself. And the kind of history of that ghost town, having it be a little bit darker, but also just kind of as the thought process of this protection ceremony was, there's going to be a lot of people coming in. So how can we protect all these people? Well, we're going to have to do a pretty big ceremony and then do a lot of offerings and do what we can to bless the land and bless the people, keep that darkness back and make it a level playing field. So that was a really tough ceremony, and actually a ceremony that will more than likely go down in history as one of the toughest ones that has actually been performed. And every single one of my crew, my brother, all the other ones you saw, Nothing Supernatural, and then you helping us out, it's a big deal. Don't ever think of it as, oh, it's just a little seance, a little ceremony. No, it was a big deal. And so you helping us out, like, you guys heard my voice that day. I was losing my voice, and my brother ended up losing his voice singing too. Singing is hard. It's a lot harder than a lot of people realize. When you sing for ceremony, you're literally calling out and blending the worlds, especially with the broken drum. You're blending these spiritual worlds together. You're carrying not only the people there, but the people, your ancestors before. You're carrying all that weight on your shoulders, on your vocal cords, on your spirit, on your mind. And you're making energy move. You're beating the drum. You're singing. You're making the frequencies come together. You're basically bringing huge worlds to get into one plane to communicate with each other. And so that is no small feat. That was a huge, huge ceremony. And you had earned your feather. You had earned your plume. And they say even the plume is even more powerful than the full-grown feather because it's holiness and its connections with the creator.
That's awesome. And just when we talked about it, you called me up. I just knew it was just going to be mind-blowing. And it was such, I can't even explain it. It was such a huge thing for me because, you know, I love my culture and everything, and just being part of that, being brought into that, I knew how serious it was. And then I was like, telling my wife, I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Good job. I'm like, dude, this is like the greatest, one of the greatest moments of my life. It was such a big thing for me. So like you're saying, it's not something lighthearted. This is a big deal. I knew from the get-go that that was a huge deal. And then you offered me the feather. I'm like, dude, mind blown. Like, get better than this right now, you know? And I talk about it all the time. It was huge. And thank you guys so much. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me on that drum, man. You heard my voice by the end of it. I was trash.
Yeah. You're like, anybody know any more songs? But that was awesome. So I do have this haunted theater that I've been talking to people about. I did my first episode there, and it hasn't been open for investigation. I keep it real kind of secluded. We've had ghost hunters that try to do these ghost tours and stuff, and we cut them off from coming into the theater because when I started going to the theater, the spirits were so interactive with me, and they didn't want to be on other people. And I promised them, I'm not going to let people exploit you guys. There's no way I'm going to let anyone come in here, mess with you guys, exploit you guys. You're not going to be doing power tricks, anything like that. And they appreciated that. And my relationship with them got stronger and stronger and stronger. This place can be kind of dark sometimes. It was owned by some rich people, and there are people that are running at the time. There was some mafia people owning it for many years. There was underground tunnels just for the speakeasies and all that fun stuff. We do know there was some holding cells for Shanghaiing because we are a seaport. So, wow. Yeah, a lot of weird things. You know? And I come across some of those energies, but they don't seem to be as bad. They don't seem to be aggressive. They kind of mess with stuff that I do there and get a kick out of it. And I get it, you know. But I believe we're talking about maybe having you guys come out and check it out, being part of the event that I'm putting on in June. And it would be an honor to have you guys come out there and check out the theater and maybe do another one of those drum ceremonies. I mean, that was such a great experience, and it really lifted everything up. And, you know, let's talk about that. I would love to get you guys to come out here.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, we're honored. And you're a warrior with us. You've earned your feathers. So if you need our help, we're just a call away, brother.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think that it would be great. You guys would love the place. And even maybe like during the weekend when you guys are out here, I might be able to set up that spot that I was talking to at the beginning of the show, which is a sacred site, which is truly amazing. It's got this little mini creek that runs through the property. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's where they used to have, the tribe would set up all their shops and stuff. And it was almost like a little breezeway. They would come by on their boats, get supplies they need. It was a huge, huge area. Like they said, like 1,000 people or whatever. And wow. Sometimes I just go out there and then they have like a little platform where people go out and just meditate and facing the water and kind of take in the environment. And I see people walking, like I said in the beginning, in the brush right there, right across the other side of the stream. It's really amazing. So maybe we can set that up too if you guys want to check out some cool stuff like that.
Anytime that we're able to help spirits out and do an offering and interact with the new type of spirits, I'm game.
Awesome. So got a little bit more time left. So my next question for you guys is, what's next for you guys? And what's coming up that people can follow?
Sweet. So right now we're in the process of planning out our season 3 for some new locations. We got some new equipment, like filming equipment, and definitely some new editing techniques that we have. So like I always said, we're always looking to improve on everything. We just have a brand new evidence review series that we just released. I believe it was yesterday. I think my days are all mixed up. Yeah. So we just released the evidence review series. So that's going to be coming out every Wednesday now. We're going to be discussing more in depth of the effects of certain investigations that it's had on all of our members who are present at the investigations, and kind of tell more so the history lessons and teachings and knowledge that we didn't really get to touch on during the episode because, well, it was in the heat of the moment. We didn't have time to be like, okay, everybody, here's this happening right here. And then there's like a dark demon tossing around somebody in the background and all that. So
we're talking about that guy. You see him flying across the room back there being slapped around. It's like, yeah, nothing going on around here except for that guy.
be like Steve Irwin. He's like, crikey, yeah. what we have is a demonic demon is tossing around Pattaya.
Yeah.
It's always the time.
So we have some new content coming out. Season 3 is going to be coming out really soon, too. We're just looking for some locations to be able to investigate at. And yeah, pretty much, yeah, just check us out on YouTube. Keep an eye out on our social medias for new announcements for coming up.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you guys are keeping it going. Season 3, that's pretty good. And how long have you guys been doing the shows?
For Unearthly and Supernatural, I'd say we've been doing that for 2 years now.
Wow. And you guys are at season three. That's good. I'm still.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm season still trying two. To get a couple of them done. I'm just so under the gun. And now I'm playing so many shows and stuff. It's like, what's going on?
Season two was definitely really a lot shorter. And then, like, I think the technique that we use is like we always hit like local places. And I think it helps living in Arizona because it's like a really, really haunted state.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys done Bisbee and stuff like that?
We haven't gotten that far south yet. We've seen it like when we went to Gleason, Arizona. We saw over the horizon. We saw the lights of the town. We're just like, one day we're going to go over there. But that's, yeah, pretty far south for us.
I did see some stuff about you guys going to the birdcage or what you guys have done in the birdcage. How was that?
It was fun. Go ahead here.
Yeah, so the Birdcage Theater, the reason why I'm kind of like just smiling is because for me, I think that investigation kind of separate from the indigenous side of things, kind of my real first experience kind of dealing with spirits that are, I guess, non-indigenous, that we were there just literally just ghost hunting and trying to see what's there and interact with the spirits there. Kind of really separate because that's kind of what we did. We went in with our indigenous protections on, with who we are. We went in there kind of dressed to the nines, and the spirits did not want to talk to us. They were actually fearful of us. They told us they were scared of us. So we stepped back. We're like, whoa, okay, let's take off some of this equipment here. Let's take off some of our protection. Let's just go in just like as we are. So we did. It just started popping, and we started interacting. Played poker, and I ended up getting shot because I had an extra ace, and that was an interesting story. My first experience actually seeing a ghost dog, and that was very interesting and very literally breathtaking for me.
Wow.
But the Tombstone Theater is, I think, a hugely active spot for, I guess, living it up as they did back in the early 20th century, late 19th, early 20th century. It was a theater. It was a bar. It was a brothel. And all those energies are still there. And those spirits still enjoy, I guess, that life.
I totally agree. A few years ago, I was there. We were doing a tombstone thing, an event out there. And we were coming back from New Mexico, which is me and my wife. We just came back from visiting her family. So it's on the way back, like, you know, 30 miles this way is Tombstone. It's like, oh, we got to go. So we went. Birdcage Theater. I'm like, yeah, so excited. And we went in there, and it was just one of those off days. Nobody was there, but the manager was there. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm like, can we check it out? And I'm like, oh, there's an door. Go on in. Make yourself at home. So I'm like, okay. Nobody in the place, which is me and my wife. Nice. And we're just like getting caught up, and you hear the boot steps near the stage, things are happening, a disembodied voice in the distance, like you think somebody's in there, and you go up there and check it out, there's nothing going on. Just stepping back in time.
Exactly.
Just reliving that, because you just kind of step into the environment. That environment is happening regardless. So yep. You're now walking into that environment, you're part of it. And that's what it felt like. It felt like everybody was there. It felt like people were still waiting for the next performer to come on. The boot steps up in the brothel area and stuff. We were hearing giggling and like people talking up there. It's like, what's going on? All the way down to the basement where the brothel was, you know, where the longest card game in the world happened.
Yep.
Amazing experience, you know, and we felt like we covered the place. It's not a big place. And we felt like we were in there like 20 minutes. We come out, and the manager's like, you're still here? You're still in there? And we're like, yeah, we're just finishing up. He's like, 3 hours.
Dang.
Like, are you serious? He's like, he starts laughing. He's like, yeah. I'm all, dude, we looked at everything. This place is incredible. But stepping back in time, getting caught up in time, it didn't seem that long. Were we caught up in some kind of vortex there? Because it just felt so inviting. I got downstairs in the brothel area. There's like a little crack in the door that's locked, but you can still look inside and see. So I just put my camera in there and just said, hey, anybody here? You know, just taking a couple of snaps or whatever. And I got a picture of a woman looking back at me through the mirror.
Whoa.
It was so great. That kind of experience. So I know about the Birdcage Theater. I love that place. I'm glad you guys had to get a great chance to experience that as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
It definitely plays a role. You know, it's like when you go to these locations, you got to know who you're talking to. It's like you're talking about the cowboys in the West. You know, like how do you think they would react to a bunch of Indians coming into their place?
Yeah, right. Up on all the blessed objects, and they're like, "Whoa, hey, who are these big guys? Look at these 6 foot tall, 6 foot five tall dudes just walking in. Who are these guys?
They're raiding us."
Yeah, that's how I feel when I go to Virginia City and they put the Washoe Club and the Millionaires Room.
Oh,
I got a trench coat on. I got my boots and stuff, and I walk in, but I got my long hair and stuff. They're probably confused, like, what's this Indian doing here in our card game? He's got a hat on. What's going on?
Right?
That must freak them out. But, hey, they have to deal with it. You know,
right.
It
works out.
All right. So what's the next big place you guys are looking forward to investigating?
We definitely have a bucket list that we would like to go to. Wait, Hero, you want to tell them the number one place we would like to go to?
What's number one? Tell me what's on the list.
The number one on my particular list would have to be the Egyptian pyramids. And my biggest thing with that is, have they like truly have a medicinal person, an indigenous medicinal person, go to the pyramids? That's one of the big no-nos in a lot of tribes. You don't go messing with tombs, mummies, nothing like that. You don't go over there. But for me to go over there and almost like be like a tribal liaison and be like, you know, hello, this is me. This is who I am. This is kind of my medicine, who I represent. And almost have like a conversation with those beings and just be like, this is where I'm from. I don't know if you traveled this far, whether you did or not. This is kind of who we are. And I'd like to know a little bit about you as well, kind of your stories. So that's kind of on my big bucket list, just to interact with those particular beings, those different types of quite literally magics that they have, the different cultures that they have, that they've established for them thousands and thousands of years in their area.
Yeah, and the paranormal for them, or the mysteries of the unknown, were a huge thing with the Egyptians. So it was a big part of their culture. I mean, they were the ones that started writing the Book of the Dead so they can travel with their guide to go through all the steps they might have to go through as they're passing through to get to where they're going. So that's a huge thing. Another big spiritual culture. That's awesome.
Yep.
My, hope you guys get a chance to do that.
That'd be really cool. So. Yeah. For me, my bucket list, one place I want to go to is the Japanese suicide force. Now that one right there is different, is because to them, they don't see suicide the same way us indigenous people do. So I was wondering, like, I wonder how they would react. And I would love to kind of do like a cultural exchange to some of the Japanese spirits over there. Like maybe meet some samurai over there too. It was like, dang, that'd be really cool to be able to conversate and just speak with them about like how they live their lives and what were their virtues when they were alive. And even in the afterlife, what do you hold dear into your heart? What do you fight for these days? And that would be something really cool. And I love to get a new sword over there too. So
good. Nice katana. Cool.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. I hope you guys get a chance to do that. Be careful with Suicide Forest though. A lot of people get lost.
Oh yeah.
People even tie ropes to trees to try to get in there, and those ropes come undone.
Oh, I have a funny feeling that all he needs to do is just stand up and he'll stand up above the trees.
Oh yeah.
You remember how tall he was.
Right. Right. We're looking up at you. Oh boy.
Guys, the path's over here. Where are you going?
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we've come to the end of the show. We're going to have to wrap. I do appreciate you guys spending some time with us. You know, and we'll have to do this again soon. Next time you guys have something coming up you guys want to promote, hit me up and we'll tell everybody about it, because we have a lot of followers and we're on so many platforms on the show. It's just really expanding. And I think you guys are awesome. I'm a big fan and want to know more and follow you guys more. So everybody out there, you have been watching the My Darkest Hour podcast. And my guests tonight have been Unearthing the Supernatural. Please go check them out, unearthingthesupernatural.com. see what they have going on. If you have any questions, feel free to hit them up. You can even find them on social media. You know, they're open to your questions. And if you are trying to get started, they're going to tell you the proper way for to get started the way they got started. So that's what I really want everyone to do. So please do that. And gentlemen, thank you once again. And we will see you guys real soon.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for having us.
All right, guys.
You guys truly have a blessing.
Thank you.
Many blessings, everyone.
Thanks so much. All right, you guys. That's going to be it for the show. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors. Of course, Chili Man Salsa, making that hot chili salsa, which is so much flavor. Be careful with the higher grade ones because he puts a lot of heat in that stuff. But just a bit of punch is the one I got. It's good. It's flavorful. Also want to give a shout out to PTech, Paranormal Technologies. It keeps making the best lights the IR cameras can see. The IR blocks that just light up the entire rooms. You should see it. The last Ghost Adventures episode I did, you can see a lot of that. We just walk in and the whole room lights up. Great stuff. I also want to give a shout out to Liz Wizzy's Crafty Creations, Liz Johnson making us all those warm, comfortable scarves, sweaters, and giving us a chance to really walk around those cold asylums because it gets cold out there at night. So when you're out there investigating, you guys investigate safe and be cautious and be careful. So until next time, we will see you right here on My Darkest Hour.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.